is a praise report that we heard in choir. We've been praying for a young boy by the name of Owen that Charlie had shared with us, 6-year-old boy who was in the hospital, really on life support essentially because of the flu and pneumonia as well. And we have been praying for him over the last week. I was encouraged, even as Brother Steve prayed on Wednesday night, that we would be looking forward to hearing a praise report on Sunday. And we heard that report. He is off the ventilator. He is breathing on his own. He's, of course, not completely well yet, but God has definitely done a work in that boy's life, and we are thankful for the work that God is doing. Charlie, you want to add something to that? Amen. Nothing short of an answer to prayer, folks. We have an amazing, all-powerful God like that, and we're so thankful for it. It's an encouragement to keep praying, isn't it? About the different things that you may be praying about, that you're waiting for God to answer. You keep praying, God will give an answer, and it will be an answer that will shock you. Not that we haven't seen answers to prayer before, but he says, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and we should pray. Second thing is, I'm so glad that Virginia Robertson is with us tonight, and she will be coming here in just a little while to present the ministry of the Your Choice Resource Center that is right here in Rocky Mount. And we'll share a little bit more about that later in the service. That being said, I have really put myself on a time frame tonight for preaching. I know you think that's very funny because you wonder if that's ever true. Well, I promise you that I try really hard. I'm like the engine that could. I think I can. But let's get into the Word of God in 1 John chapter 2. We're working through this epistle that declares a simple message. What is that message? Thank you, Ronnie. I appreciate that. God is light. Say that with me if you would tonight. God is light. Was it you, Gabe? Oh, never mind. I thought you were, it was me, like a student. Hey, no, I said it. Oh, okay. Anyway, we're studying through this book for this simple message that God is light. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, John has declared the message so that we might have fellowship with the Father, with Jesus Christ, and with one another. And he's also declared this message so that we might have joy that is full. I don't know about you, but I want to experience fellowship with God. And I want to experience fellowship, true fellowship, with the people of God. And I want to experience a joy that is full. Not a joy like this world has or can give, but a joy that can come only from God, that even in the midst of the worst circumstances, I can still have joy because I know God. However, there is an enemy to these experiences, and that enemy is sin. Though we are freed by Jesus from the condemnation of sin, as long as we live in this world and in this flesh, we can and often do, unfortunately, give in to the coercion of sin. When we sin, the privileges of our salvation, like fellowship and full joy, are limited. But thanks be to God that he has provided his children a way of dealing with sin and restoring those privileges that have been limited. That's why he said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In chapter 2, we have an advocate. Aren't you glad this evening that though when you sin, your privileges as a child of God may be limited, but your position as a child of God is unchanged? That is a wonderful gift of the grace and mercy of God. And we should praise him for that. I don't know about you, but I know there are times that I give in to the coercion of sin. I give in to sin's deception, and I sin against my heavenly Father. Even though my privileges are limited, when I do that, I can thank God that I'm still His child. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. But still, as we look at 1 John, we need to remember and understand that John still said in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, "These things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not." Yes, as a child of God, you will sin. You can, you do, and you will. Just because you're a child of God does not mean that it is not possible for you to sin. You will sin. You will not attain sinless perfection this side of eternity. But in God's Word and through God's Holy Spirit, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And when we walk in the Spirit and when we heed His Word as He desires us to do, we can go on in victory as children of God without sinning. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth that we need to live out every day. With that said, I want you to understand that as we come to chapter 2, verse number 3, John wanted us to know that it is possible and it's preferable that we stay pure and right. And now as we get to chapter 2, verse 3, John is going to begin describing for us what it looks like to walk in the light. He's told us, 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light. And then he told us, look, if you claim to walk in the light, but you're in sin, you're walking in darkness. And he dealt with sin in the believer's life. But now he's going to begin to tell us, God is light, and here's what it looks like if you're going to walk in the light with God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. We read them earlier. Let's read them again now. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." In this passage of Scripture, John makes simple declarative sentences. In chapter 1, there were three different times he said, "If we say," and he's going to kind of continue that same vein of thought here in this passage when he says, "He that saith, he that saith." And he's helping us to understand now what it looks like to walk in the light. As we study it tonight, I'd like to change a little bit. I'd like us to view these declarative statements as objectives. So instead of just looking at them as John saying, if this is so, then this is so, I want us to look at these statements as objectives that we can reach for. You know what an objective is, don't you? When I was in the ministry there in Pensacola, you know I wore a few different hats. I was a youth pastor. I taught at the college. I taught at the academy. I directed the summer camps for a time. There were a lot of different things I did. But one of the parts of my ministry and job, especially as a college professor, was when you went into a new semester of classes and you presented the students on the first day of class with the course outline or the course syllabus. You were trying to help the students have an understanding the first day of class, what we were going to study, what this class was going to teach them, what they needed to do in this class. But part of that course outline or course syllabus was what were called learning objectives. And as a professor, it was my job to study the curriculum, to prepare the lessons, to prepare the projects that the students would need to do, all working toward those learning outcomes. I was supposed to be able to say as a professor, when this class is complete, this student will know this. This student will know this. this student will be able to accomplish this and be able to do that. These were the learning objectives. Now, I had a lot of students go through my class. And I can tell you, as is true in any teacher's experience, it really doesn't matter how you do as a teacher. Some students will get through the class and be able to do and know, and some won't. That's just the truth of teaching at times. However, I was supposed to do everything in my power to bring those students to a place where they could reach those objectives. Here's what John is essentially doing. He's telling us, here are some things that are true if you're going to walk in the light. And I want us to see these as objectives. These are things that we need to reach for in our lives if we're going to walk in the light as God is in the light. So let me give you three this evening that are found here in this text, and they build upon one another. First of all is the knowledge objective. The knowledge objective. Look at the first part of verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him. We do know that we know him. Now, I'd like you to consider this knowledge objective with me for just a few moments. And don't miss John's statement, because there are two parts to this knowledge objective. Notice he says that we know that we know him. So there's two parts. The first part is knowing him, and then the second part is knowing that we know him. This is the objective John wants to bring us to. And this is something that is true of the person that is walking in the light with God. They will know that they know him. Now, I need to remind you of something very quickly before we can get further into this knowledge objective. And it's this. Throughout the book of 1 John, John does not necessarily seek to give us tests of salvation so much as he wants to give us tests of assurance. In other words, John is not necessarily through this epistle saying, if this is true in your life, you're saved. If this is not true in your life, you're not saved. It's more that he's trying to help us to understand, if this is true in your life, then you will know that you're saved. And if this is not true in your life, you won't be able to know that you're saved. Now, certainly, again, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. But what we need to understand is John's not trying to get us to see ourselves as either saved or lost. He's trying to bring us to a place where we have assurance of our salvation because of where we're at in our relationship with God. And so as he speaks about those who would walk in the light as God is in the light, he says, hereby we do know that we know him. So there's two parts, knowing him and knowing that we know him. Let's consider knowing him. You understand, don't you, that knowing someone is different than knowing about someone. You know that, right? I could tell you tonight that I know about a particular person. And in saying so, what I'm saying is I know some facts about that person. I know some realities or truths about their life. It may be someone famous that many of you may know their name. We could pick anybody. Some politician or some athlete or whatever it may be. And we might say, hey, do you know so-and-so? And our first response might be, yeah, well, I know so-and-so. And as we think about it, it's not that we know that person, but we know some things about them. Well, yes, that person is the senator of this area or of that state, or the president of the United States, or the leader of this country or of that organization. And we might be able to say that we know some things about that person, but knowing something about someone and knowing someone is different. Understand tonight, friend, that God doesn't want you and I to just know about him. He wants us to know him. Amen. You tonight might be able to recite some facts about God. Well, God's the creator of the universe. God's the ruler of the universe. God's the judge of all. You might be able to recite some facts, but knowing about him is different than knowing him. And by the way, it's accomplished through different means. Think about it for a moment. If you were to just try to get to know about somebody, you could do that a lot of different ways. You could talk to other people who know about that someone and learn from them. You might could read some things about that somebody and learn some things about them. As John writes here in his epistle, he is writing about a personal experiential knowledge of him, not just an academic knowledge. How is a personal experiential knowledge received? How is it acquired? Listen, personal experiential knowledge, in other words, knowing someone as opposed to just knowing about someone, is primarily acquired through spending time with the one you want to get to know. It's about spending time with that person. If I want to get to know about someone, I could ask you about that person if you know about them. I could read some things about them. But if I want to get to know someone, I'm going to do what I can to get into their presence, to have conversations with them, to listen to them, and to share my heart with them. That is getting to know someone. And listen, if we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light, it requires more than just knowing about him. It requires actually knowing him. But it goes beyond that. It's knowing that we know him. And hereby we do know that we know him, John says. We can know him, and then we can know that we know him. And that's what God wants. He wants us to know that we know him. If you will, God wants us to have an unwavering confidence that we know Jesus, that we know God the Father, that we know who he is, that we know what he does and how he works. He wants us to have an unwavering confidence that we are walking with him, that he is working in our lives, that we are growing and maturing in him. And that's not just automatic, friend. It doesn't just happen. But it is possible and desirable for every believer. There's a knowledge objective. Secondly, there is an obedience objective. Notice what he says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And notice how these build on one another. And we're kind of starting at the top and working our way down. He wants us to know that we know, but that doesn't just happen. Knowing that we know him happens if, second part of verse 3, we keep his commandments. Notice what it says in verses 4 and the first part of verse 5. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Just like we saw in chapter 1, where someone can claim to walk in the light, but if they're not living in obedience to God, they're actually walking in darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we're lying and not of the truth. And now he says, you can say that you know him, but if your life is characterized by disobedience, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Now again, understand this evening, he's not specifically applying this to a test of salvation. He's not saying tonight, if you don't keep his commandments, you're lost. He's saying if you don't keep his commandments, you don't know him. You're not in fellowship with him. You don't have a personal experiential knowledge of who he is. Because if you have that personal experiential knowledge of who he is, that is going to have an effect in your life. Now, at the same time, if your life is characterized by disobedience, friend, you ought to take a step back and ask yourself the question, am I in the faith? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 speaks of that examination. But John is more interested in this passage in talking to us about fellowship. And what he's saying is simply this: you can't say you're in fellowship with God if you're living in disobedience to God. But look at the first half of verse 5 now. But whoso keepeth his word. And then look down to verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. I love what one teacher said. He said, ongoing assurance that we are people who know God is dependent upon ongoing obedience to his command. And friend, that's the truth. If you're going to know that you know him and have that ongoing assurance, you have to be in ongoing obedience to his commands. Now, notice the progression of this objective in the text. Obedience is accomplished by what? End of verse 3. Keeping his commandments. What does obedience to God look like? Well, it looks like keeping his commandments. Well, how do I know what his commandments are? How do I keep his commandments? What does that look like? Beginning of verse number 5. Whoso keepeth his word. You want to know what obedience is all about. You want to know how you can obey or what to obey. You've got to get into the Word of God. You don't learn how to obey God just through osmosis or just through going on in life. You and I need to get into the Word of God. It is through the Word of God that we can please God. But notice, if you will, it goes beyond that. What do I find in His Word? Verse number 6. To walk as he walked. It's not just a cute or a cliche thing to say that Jesus is our perfect example. Because John says right here, hey, if you're going to know that you know him and walk in the light, you've got to obey him. Obeying him is done through keeping his word. And what do you find when you go to the Word of God? You find the example of Jesus Christ. Is there any greater example of perfect obedience and submission than that of Jesus Christ? Think about it. Philippians chapter 2 tells us the story. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You want to know what obedience is all about, friend? Look at Jesus Christ. That is obedience. How did Jesus walk? Do you know it's not wrong at all to ask the question that became popular years ago, what would Jesus do? But you know, it's even more realistic to be able to look at the Word of God and say, what did Jesus do? Because I have the story of his life and the record of his obedience and submission to his Father. And I don't have to just wonder, what would Jesus do? I can go to the Word of God and understand, what did Jesus do? And as I pattern my life after Jesus Christ and try to live, what did Jesus do? Friend, that's obedience to God. And that is walking in the light. But I want you to see that John himself even really simplifies this obedience objective. Hold your place right there and turn over a page if you need to chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Verse 21 is one of the greatest verses on the assurance of salvation in all the Bible. It says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, notice, because we keep his commandments. Stop right there for just a moment and listen. It is not just an Old Testament, but it is a New Testament principle that effective prayer life is found in the life of a person who lives obediently before the Lord. Did you catch that? What'd he say? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He goes on and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this, listen, this is his commandment. How do we know that we know him? Through keeping his commandments. What does that look like? Keeping his word. Well, what's that all about? Walking even as he walked. And here John simply boils it down for us and says, here is his commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Doesn't that sound very similar to something Jesus said? What's the great commandment in the law, teacher? Here it is. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Friend, it is not simplifying it too much to say that if you love God and if you love others, you'll be living an obedient life before the Lord. That's not simplifying it too much. Jesus made that clear. John makes it clear here. So there is a knowledge objective, knowing that we know him. There's an obedience objective. We can know that we know him as we obey him. But then notice, thirdly, there is a love objective. Middle of verse number 5 there in chapter 2. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Knowing that we know him is accomplished as we keep his commandments. And keeping his commandments is accomplished as we love God, as we should. In him verily is the love of God perfected. John says that about the person who is keeping the word of God, who is obeying his commands, who is walking as he walks. And this statement clearly identifies not God's love for the individual, but the believer's love for God. He is saying that the believer who loves God as he should is the believer who will live in obedience to his word, is the believer who will know that he knows him. The word perfected here means that which is complete, that is mature. In other words, if we're talking about loving God, having a mature love for God, having a love for God that is right, that is what God wants it to be, that measures up to God's standard, what he would desire of us, is demonstrated in obedience. What did Jesus say in John 15? If ye love me, keep my commandments. And so there's this love objective. And that's really the foundation. Knowing that we know him is accomplished as we obey him. And obedience to him is really accomplished in the right way as we love God, as we should. And it's as these things are true in our lives. Again, John gives these as declarative statements that we will walk in the light as he is in the light. These build on each other, but they also complement and help one another. So it starts with love, it goes to obedience, and it goes to knowing him. But do you know, it really is also true that the more I get to know Jesus, the more I desire to obey him. The more I get to know Jesus, the more in love with him I fall. As I understand more of who he is and what he does and has done in my life, wow, how could I do anything else but obey him? How could I do anything else but love him? Friend, understand this evening, God is light. And we can walk with him in the light. But it doesn't happen as we just go on in sin. It doesn't happen as we allow sin to have the rule in our lives. We can walk with him in the light as we know that we know him, as we obey him, as we love him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening, no one looking around? I hope tonight that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, first and foremost. Maybe you're here in this auditorium this evening or listening online to this service and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, I would like to share with you that Jesus shed his blood on an old rugged cross so that you could have salvation and forgiveness of sin. And if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, I pray that you will place your faith and trust in Christ. For those of us who are here tonight, and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God certainly wants you to have confidence in your salvation, assurance of your salvation, which you can have as you obey him and as you love him. Maybe tonight you don't know the Lord as much as you should, or you're not doing as much as you could to get to know him. Maybe obedience is lacking in your life. Maybe the root issue is that you don't love him as you should. If God is working in your heart, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask you to come if the Lord is working in your heart. Heavenly Father, as we have this brief time of invitation tonight, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do a work. And if you are speaking to hearts tonight, help us to respond in obedience to you. Help us not to leave as we came. If we're not walking in the light with you, help us to deal with what is at the root of that issue so that we can walk in the light as you are in the light. And we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. With heads bowed.